Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Minutes past the hour, the Rick and Bubba show. As we move forward, Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, Helmsy have already given you a kickoff hour. Along the Rick and Bubba platforms, they're with us. Eddie Van Adler settles into the YouTube channel. He's 24 hours away from his next child being born. That'll be happening tomorrow on the program. Or not on the program, but for he and his wife. We'll get an update when it's appropriate. Be in prayer for that. And we'll unpack another day. Wednesday Bible study back today. The letters to the churches continue, and we'll be in chapter 2 today as we talk to the church at Pergamum. Tough to say, but we will talk about that today on the program and get all the history of that city, and we'll unpack everything that Jesus is saying to that church today. Another powerful word from our Lord and Savior in the Revelation today. So if you catch that live at noon on our YouTube channel, that's noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern. It'll be archived soon after to the YouTube and podcast channel, as is the norm on Wednesday. Sitting over there, the silver tongue one. The man with a golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year. The inventor of pizza in a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the King's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussey! Howdy, Bubba.
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome into the little party we call Rick and Bubba.
Let's go.
Jealous. I'm jealous again.
Got no time, baby.
There's them Black Crowes.
First song I ever heard by them.
Really?
Yep. Saw a video.
Shake Your Money Maker.
And I thought, I'm going to ask
that. A classic.
Classic.
A classic album right there. That's one of those where you just say, well, that'll work.
Yeah. Their first two records, and then they kind of lost me for a while, but I like them. They're good.
Well, it's.
And they're so great.
You know, it's every time we do Behind the Music, you know what I'm saying, Bubba, we're almost like. I think we can have our own Behind the Music. I really do think
could. I was looking at, speaking of Black Crowes, I saw a few this weekend. I think they're bigger than they've ever been.
I agree.
Yeah, I saw one look like a beagle.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
as big as a hawk.
They're huge.
Well, they're well-fed, and I don't
Nobody shoots them
I don't
them
think
anymore.
Many people hunt them anymore.
No.
Larry and Mark can't kill them all.
I know. I will say that of all the mystery meat we've had over the years when Larry and Mark used to come on the show, and we would agree to eat anything they would kill and cook.
Yeah.
I think the most pleasant surprise was crow, because I really didn't think it would be that good. But you know, with a little duck sauce, it wasn't bad at all. It is dark meat, by the way.
Yeah, I think
there's not too many birds that are all dark meat, are there?
Well,
I remember.
If I can put a duck is. Which I'm not crazy.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
So I don't eat duck.
I don't like duck. But what I've noticed is I think what was happening there when they were serving us every animal
I mean, I don't know that there's an animal that we didn't dine on.
Right.
I think it in some places, and crow was one of these examples, you know, because it was time to eat crow. I think really the meats just became a spoon for the sauce.
Right.
Right.
We really were just
eating the sauce.
There's some difference in meat, but not as much as maybe you think there would be.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I know this.
I mean, coyote, we ate that.
That should not have happened. That was over the line. Yeah. We ate a dog.
That's we ate a lot of nutrient, you know.
Way over the line.
I remember the crow meat, especially because we were joking about eating crow.
Of course.
And it's such a saying you hear so much. But they were in little squares. It was dark meat, and, you know, we just run it through that. That duck sauce was good. Now, I think you could eat a pine cone in that, and it tastes good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Didn't it just become a spoon?
It was just a delivery system.
Meat spoon. And wasn't that all it was? Wasn't that just a meat spoon?
Meat spoon.
Yes. But we did it, and those of you that don't remember that part of Rick and Bubba history, we would eat it, then they would tell us what it was.
Right, right.
But, so there you go.
We pretty much, I mean, I can't think of too many things we didn't eat at one time.
Well, the mental game is a big part of it. I can't tell you the number of people, even in my own family, that have eaten venison, and the only way they ate it was not to be the toad they were eating.
Right, right.
And then after it was over and they were bragging on it, then you tell them what it
right.
is.
Right.
Yeah.
And most of that, I think, for people that don't like it, is the preparation. Like, say, when you take Angus beef, they age it for 14 days. Mm. And, you know, usually you don't get to do that with deer meat and other things because you're not set up to do that. Although we have had it done. I was in a hunting camp one time that would age the deer 14 days before they processed it. And it does make a huge difference.
Yeah. But I will tell you the processor is – it has
key.
A lot.
Oh, it's
and we're so fortunate where we hunt that the processor there is like really, really good. So the meat is really, really good. So,
we've killed stuff and drove an hour to get it to
me. Yeah, he does a great job. So we,
I see you had some meat sticks.
Speaking of that, I brought some snack sticks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're in there.
Sure. Thank you.
We'll dine on that, and I've got
good stuff.
I'm going to cook some more again this weekend. We cooked some, like I say, last Thursday too. We cook it a lot, and because we got a freezer full of it, so it's good. And when you look at the price of everything at the store right now, when you think I walked out of the deer processor with three bags full of meat for a little over $100,
yeah,
it's hard to beat that.
I know,
it's
real tough to beat.
Yeah.
My voice sounds funny today.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I don't know. I must be a little stopped.
First
up
time something. I heard it is when you mentioned the meat sticks.
Right.
Oh, it looks like somebody's got meat sticks.
Got a little squeak on the high end.
I thought Bubba's got
like Bill Clinton's here.
But I feel like I got better pipes, you know, on the low end.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So, Bubba, we have the Republican Party who will run. Well, let's hear from Governor Ron DeSantis. People still wondering, will he run for president? But right now, he's still doing the job as governor. And he's now going to announce a proposal to eliminate all funding for diversity, equity, and inclusion in the critical race theory in public universities. And here he is talking about it.
The first thing that we're going to propose is we want to make sure that everybody that goes through a Florida university has to take certain core course requirements that's really focused on giving them the foundation so that they can think for themselves. And the core curriculum must be grounded in actual history, the actual philosophy that has shaped Western civilization. Our institutions will be graduating students, I think, with degrees that are going to be meaningful. We don't want students to go through at taxpayer expense and graduate with a degree in zombie studies. And so this is going to make a difference.
Wow.
We are also going to eliminate all DEI and CRT bureaucracies in the state of Florida. No funding, and that will wither on the vine. And I think that that's very important because it really serves as an ideological filter, a political filter. You've seen different things. I mean, New College has really embraced that, and that's part of the reason I think it hasn't been successful.
So he's saying, we're not going to have universities in Florida that are here to try to indoctrinate people into certain political views and worldviews. We want to educate them in a way that they can think for themselves, critically think, be taught the true history, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Right.
Let them make their own decisions and then go out into the world actually able to function in the real world. Well, what a concept.
I know.
Isn't
that something?
And once again, his ability to communicate these things so clearly is why so many people are excited about whenever he decides to run for president.
Yeah, I think that's really an asset for him. He knows enough about politics to know how to say what he needs to say and not say too much, and get to the point. I think, you know, again, I think he's speaking to issues that bother a lot of voters today, that they think the universities have just turned into indoctrination centers, not studying reading, writing, arithmetic, and the things they need to do to specialize to get a job.
Yep.
That it's just turned into a left-wing indoctrination stop. And
yes.
I applaud that wholeheartedly. Speaking of him and President, Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, former ambassador to the UN, looks like she is gearing up to run for president. They're expecting her to announce that around February the 15th. She is having a big shindig, and they think she's going to make that announcement. Also, Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, looks like he's visiting some early primary states, and that may be an indication that he's looking very hard at a run for that. What is kind of funny about that is that Nikki Haley actually helped get his start in politics, I believe. I was told by one person she actually appointed him to fill a Senate seat that got him started on his Senate career. So there's some ties there. And, of course, Donald Trump had Nikki Haley as his U.N. ambassador. Mm-hmm. So Trump already announced he's running, but he may have some company of kinfolks politically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Tim Scott and Gowdy are big buddies too. They've spoke together. Matter of fact, Sherry and the boys at Student Leadership University got to hear both of them speak in D.C. and that was a great experience. So you wonder what the positioning or the posturing for Nikki Haley and really to a degree Tim Scott, because if DeSantis and Trump run, well, it's going to be one of them. I mean, I don't think either one of these have a chance to be nominated. But I guess they're positioning for possibly to be a vice president.
I don't know. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. I think both of them have indicated they, you know, have aspirations that way. Mm-hmm. And I know Nikki Haley, I saw an interview with her. She said it would all be based on if the country is in dire need of a change of leadership. And I think that we all can check that box.
check. So...
Could she be the first female president? We've had a first female vice president. Could she do it, or is she positioning herself to be a potential VP candidate? Same with Tim Scott.
Can she be, like, on this run, the first female president? No. Can she be positioning herself for the future? Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. but nobody's going to beat Trump or DeSantis if those two decide to go.
You know, I've seen different poll numbers. Mm-hmm. Initially, it looked like Trump would still win the Republican nomination. The poll since then looks like DeSantis could defeat him and Biden. But, you know, polls are polls, and you got to go and vote.
So here's what we know. Trump is running.
Yes.
That we know.
Yes.
Nikki Haley is,
I feel like she's 90% in.
Tim Scott's kicking the tires.
Yeah, 50-50.
And DeSantis has not announced, but everybody thinks he is.
That's right. He has not given any indication, but there's a lot of things, you know, behind the scenes it looks like that he might run.
Let me ask y'all a tough question, political strategist.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in charge of the Republican Party right now. You're not happy with this Biden situation. None of us are, and you want to make a change. You know that just like that Donald Trump is not going to listen to anyone who says, don't run, we don't need this. We need DeSantis to come through clean,
right,
and we need to overthrow this. He's not going to do that.
Right.
So do you go to Trump and say, or do you just finally look around and say, let's just get this over with.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let him run again, okay, so we can get this over with. If he wins, maybe we go DeSantis, if he'd be willing to do it as vice president. Then Trump serves his next four, and then we parlay DeSantis in for eight after that. And we have the White House for 12 years. That's not going to happen, but I think that'd be a smart play.
Well, I think DeSantis needs to not do that.
Yeah.
Because he will ultimately be tied to Trump for the rest of the time. Oh, what I think he needs to do is call Nikki Haley today and say, listen, not going to be your time based off what you just said, but I think us two together can beat Trump. And you run and then bail out at some point and you can be my VP.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Would you approach Tim Scott with the
now
same
Now, we're
deal?
Acting as if DeSantis is going to
Would you approach Tim Scott
yes,
with the same deal?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I would.
And I think two other ones, just names that y'all know, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is going to probably announce. Mm-hmm. And you got former President Mike Pence that's in the run. And then
too nice.
What's the South Dakota governor,
Christine Noem?
I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name, but there's rumors that she might announce.
With seconds on the clock, is there a concern that because the way Trump is, if he doesn't get the nomination, he'll go independent and give the thing back to the Democrats?
I don't know, buddy.
I think you would always have to worry about some version of that.
Yeah.
Here's the flip side. If DeSantis goes cold on Trump, can Trump win without Florida? And his support and pull in Florida, I don't think so.
No. There's got to be some kind of unity in all that. Top of the hour, we'll be back. More of the Rick and Bubba Show coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
I know if you think about all the people that you would want to hear financial advice from, it wouldn't be anybody here. It might be Dave Ramsey. Have you ever thought of Chad Ochocinco?
No.
Have you ever thought of listening to Chad? Well, apparently, Chad was informing, is it Shannon Sharp he's talking to? Shannon Sharp, that he saved a majority of his salary by being like Speedy. Being frugal, being cheap.
I knew you were going to say it.
Is he like Jay Leno? Is that what he's doing?
Sounds
saving
like
all his salary?
But some of the things he says, I totally agree with. One thing he says I don't agree with, because he claims he's accomplishing something that I haven't found that really gets accomplished. when you cut corners here, but I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice. But anyway, anytime. So here he goes. Here is Chad talking to Shannon Sharp about how he is still financially stable. He didn't blow all his money. Here we go.
I ain't flying private. Spirit. Put me on Spirit. Exit row. Window seat. That's all I need. Long as I get from point A to point B.
That's my issue.
I don't need private. Athletes more so. If you can get to a point in your career where your name becomes bigger than anything you can purchase, there's your value.
Wow.
My name itself, Ochocinco at one point, even still to this day, is bigger than... Why am I driving a Ferrari? Why am I driving a Rolls Royce and I'm Ocho? Oh, we talk about jewelry and watches and chains. Never bought real anything when I was playing. Never. What was the point? I went to Claire's. Yes. For what? What am I doing it for? The women don't deal with you anyway because of who you are.
Right.
And then the other women who are really doing their homework don't Google how much you're making already.
Right.
Why am I buying a $50,000 watch, $80,000 watch? What time is it real quick, please?
It's 20 minutes to 4.
How much that cost me?
He said all the jewelry we saw him in was fake. He said
Claire's. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that chain, but I get it.
Girls.
You got a daughter.
Exactly what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's what's funny. I love his honesty.
Yeah.
You think I need that to get women? I'm Ochocinco.
Right.
The women are coming after me anyway, and they've Googled how much I make. I don't have to pretend I make a lot of money. They know I do.
Yeah.
And he said, so why would I have all these things? They don't make any sense. Now, where I disagree with him is spirit. He says, as long as I can get from point A to point B, what does it matter?
Well, that's a big phrase, though, Rick.
Yeah. That I agree with. Right. The only problem is, on commercial airlines, you rarely ever do.
Right.
You don't get from point A to point B when you want to be there. Now, if you want to go fly and you couldn't care less when you arrive at where you're going, then commercial's the way to go. Mm-hmm. And spirit would be a good deal.
Yeah.
But if you care about making an appointment, making a big event, being on time, commercial isn't a great investment. Mm-mm. Now, it's a great investment if you don't care when you get there.
Right.
Yeah. But if you care when you get there, it really isn't very reliable.
And from their own words in the NFL, Adler, if we can see number 8, this will raise some eyebrows today. I know he's joking, but it is funny to hear it.
Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, it's – he's got to be joking.
This is Adrian Foster, and he is he's on a podcast.
Arian Foster,
I'm sorry. And he admits the NFL is rigged.
But it has to. There has to be a joke.
Yeah, of course he's kidding.
But it sounds kind of legit, but it has to be a joke.
What's more believable, that Chad really did wear fake jewelry, or this one, or this comment?
You decide.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, before we started taping, Arian was telling me about how the NFL is rigged and how every year he used to get a script.
Yeah.
Day one of training camp that would get dropped off at his locker.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have to, you know, it was like week one, you'll do this. Week two, you're going to have a hamstring injury. Week three, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Week four, you're going to get 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And so then you just have to, did you memorize those before the season started? Or would you go and rehearse the script before every game?
We really dedicated to it. So it was more so like, that's what practice was about. It was about practicing the script. Like, this is what goes on and this is what we have to do in order to,
And this referee is going to miss this call because they hate you and they love the Colts, that sort of thing.
WWF, so it's like, know, we know what's going to happen, but you still got to put on a show.
Yeah. What did you think when you got the script in 2016 that said your career was going to fall off a cliff when you stopped believing in God?
That was 2015.
I gotta
show you something about this podcast. I'm not familiar with it. Can you put it back up, Adler? Rick, look at the pictures on the front of the desk. You've got the Zapruder film, the reverse side of the Zapruder film.
Yeah, that's funny.
You've got Bigfoot from the Patterson film, and I don't know what these are.
Oh, that's the devil horse outside the Denver airport?
Right.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
I can't tell what that is.
That's funny.
Well, can I tell you this? I'm about to pull the curtain back. Here comes the curtain. Y'all ready for it to come back? And they're tapping into it, okay? Maybe I shouldn't be very, very specific. So one of the things in the podcast world, I'll say this, is the more downloads and views and all that obviously equal more money.
Right.
And nothing generates more than conspiracy theories.
Oh,
nothing.
What are you
talking about? Go look at Rick and Bubba University. We can be talking about the return of Jesus Christ and how you should – this is something that you need to be preparing for. And, you know, you look on the YouTube. I don't have access to the podcast archives. Helmsy sees those. And I guess, is this over – tell me if I'm using a wrong number. How many ever views you normally see on one of our YouTube, if it's on the podcast too? The podcast is usually, what, double that?
Yeah, that's a good way.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And so,
it's close.
So the numbers, when we have missing 411, Skin Ranch,
Skinwalker Ranch.
UFOs, Bigfoot, the number on those podcasts, the numbers dwarf
it's crazy.
Anything else. I mean, not they're a little bit more popular, they dwarf anything else. And there have been people who need our podcast to do well that say, please, when you have Skinwalker on, do a series. Don't just do one. When you have the 411 guy on there, do 5 podcasts with him.
We need to get him back on. He's got a new book out.
Yeah, and so what they're doing is they're generating lots and lots of activity on this podcast by coming up with all the things that people are like, you know, and so saying football is fake is
all right. So I remember when he played, sort of. I don't remember the details, you know, for that. I'd go to Greg.
Mm-hmm.
They made a joke about him quit believing in God and his career fell apart.
Yeah.
What was the deal on that? I remember kind of that story.
Yeah. I remember when he came out and did that, because we mentioned it on the show.
We did.
He did denounce his belief in God. Now, did his career fall off right after that? I know they're joking about that. I don't know whether what the timing was after he made that announcement that his career ended. But I remember him saying that because I remember us on there going, well, that ought to do it. And there's your statement. Mm-hmm. And so he did do that. So.
Right.
So anyway, and they're joking that it ended his career. And I don't. Yeah.
That was right about the time I picked him up for my fantasy football team. Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot, buddy.
He ran for the Texans, right? He was running back for the Texans. Yeah,
he's good, Rick, he's a good player in his
very good.
To your point, it looks like 20,000 to 30,000 views on most everything else we put out there on YouTube. Mm-hmm. 315,000 when it comes to the Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
And Missing 411.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Missing 411 has 500,000, and Skinwalker Ranch has 420,000.
Unbelievable.
A lot of people interested in it.
Does that help y'all understand our society?
It does.
Just a little
bit?
It does.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Why haven't we got Travis booked again is what I want to know.
Well, I was told by the people that sell these podcasts for us, could y'all just do a series with these people?
Yeah.
Don't just do one and done with these people.
Yeah.
do a series.
It also helps me understand why I continue to get opportunities to do things I have no business doing.
There you go. We're living in a world where anything's
possible. A little hard work,
yeah.
A little effort. Get up in the morning, keep coming in. Yeah, my goodness,
sure,
sky's the limit.
It makes you so unlike everybody else.
It really does.
Going to the break, but we did have some breaking news in the commercial break.
Yeah, Tom Brady has said he is retiring, and this time it is for real.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And he said for good.
For good. Well, you know, should we wait 60 days on this because the season just ended?
Yes.
You know how it was before.
But these
has Gronk called him up and said, "Hey, I'm having a ball on the desk. You need to join us."
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, Babylon Bee. Some of life's greatest truths have been said in jest, and I can't remember who to credit that to. I don't know if that was Shakespeare or Mark Twain or somebody.
It's one of them guys.
One of those guys say clever things. Might have been Will Rogers. but anyway, when they did the headline. And it showed the Buccaneers' record this year, and it said Tom sure is glad he lost his family over this season.
Right.
Or did he use football to get out of the marriage?
Right. But anyway, I think he just realized at my age to have another run to the Super Bowl and get a team back to team again together and all that. I'm just getting older. I don't think he played bad. I just think he thinks. But this, how much longer can I continue this? And I got to find the right team to get all the way back to the Super Bowl. That's hard to do. And I think where he is now, and, you know, you get this way in a lot of things in your life. If I can't play in the Super Bowl, I really don't want to play. If I can't be on a team that's going to the Super Bowl, it's not worth it to me.
And
I
Rick,
love going to that Super Bowl.
He's been in great health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's missed a season.
He got nothing to prove.
With a break one time, but. I mean, he's got to think in the back of his mind, the next big hit I get could leave me unable to walk for the rest of my life me not know who I am the rest of my life. He's coming out of this fairly unscathed, considering the amount of time he's played. So, should we wait 60 days before we put this
in? Oh, there's no way that I think this is official. I know he said this.
Do we pencil this in? It's not in ink.
When it comes to coaches not leaving and it comes to players retiring,
until
I get halfway through the season and I don't see him, I won't believe it.
Right. Well, apparently, and I'm looking real quick, I think he might have – no, I don't know. You know, he loves to announce things on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Sure he does.
But here he had an emotional video that he's retiring for good.
Oh, breaking news.
Here it is. Morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring for good. I know the process was a pretty big deal last time, so when I woke up this morning, I figured I'd just press record and let you guys know first. So I won't be long-winded. Like, you only get one super emotional retirement essay, and I used mine up last year. So I really thank you guys so much to every single one of you for supporting me, my family, my friends, my teammates, my competitors. I could go on forever. There's too many. Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing. Love you all.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Maybe
he's getting emotional.
Maybe
should have changed a few things, but
But anyway, did he say, did I hear in the background, see the movie 80 for Brady?
Would I go see it?
No, did he say that? Did I hear him say that under his breath?
No, I don't think so. No.
Of course, the red carpet event was this weekend on that.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, they interviewed them on, I guess it was the one of the
that's
NFL
one of those,
shows.
Yeah, that's one of those movies on a rainy Sunday afternoon. Maybe if your wife like says, I think this would be cute after it's on some streaming service, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think it'll probably be funny just because of the topic, but I don't really care for the politics of a lot of people involved.
Oh, no.
It.
No. Well, yeah. It
says that was 11 minutes ago and it's already got 165,000 likes.
Right.
Wow.
Well, I like that he acknowledged, you know I did this big emotional thing last time and then didn't stay retired, but that's going to, we'll see. But you know,
so did I say what was the Fox deal? If he goes right to that, was it 10 mil, 300 something million?
Yeah, 375 million for 10 years, yeah. Which would be 37 million a year to sit at the desk.
Okay,
that ain't bad.
No, I talk about football for that, and I'm not even that interested in it anymore. I mean, I would get real interested real quick. I do my homework. I talk X's and O's. I do it all.
Yeah,
you'd be surprised how much I'd know. So Tom Brady says he's retired this time for good.
Put for good in there.
Well, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
But,
yeah, you're right.
But we'll see.
That's what
see.
He said.
We will see. But so the Buccaneers need a quarterback.
Yeah. It's good for him to say that at least before the draft and all that.
Is this a ploy, too, to maybe to get his wife back and say, look, I'm out. I quit.
Well, if you are the wife, if that really was the stickler point, it may not have been to Helmsley's point. But if it was, you go, okay, so we did all this, and you just retired anyway at the end of the season.
Yeah. Everything's going on about his girlfriend. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they were on the rocks before all that.
Yeah,
and he was wanting out. She was wanting out.
Yeah.
And well, going to Brazil once every month, you know, that has to take its toll.
To go
visit the in-laws.
Well, Tom has just for me
is this
watching
your weekend that we go see your parents.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and it may not be. I may be wrong, but you know that's why we have to be careful what we portray. But it appears just sitting in the stands, and I mean the stands of life, watching him as a person, and I respect his ability. Don't misunderstand me. And I think as far as football is concerned, he's a pro, and he is you know the greatest to play that position so far, but. There are more important things in life than that. And the other things in life, it seems to be that Tom cares mostly about Tom when it's all said and done. And I'm not sure he's a big sacrificial guy when it comes to others. So, and that's just the way he's presented himself. I don't know that he does whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. But that may not be true. But that's how – you remember the time he wanted to correct us all when we were all trying to say he was a nice guy?
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to set us straight that he really wasn't.
Right.
He wanted to set us straight.
Right.
Which I thought was odd.
Knowing what he knows now, you think he wishes he'd have done this last year, gone out on high?
Probably so. That would have been a better note.
Well, you know, maybe this helped to curb the feeling he was missing something or leaving something on the table.
Right.
You know?
All right, we'll talk with you next. Rick and Bubba. All right, so Bubba, as we come back, got a couple of things happening in the ever-changing fake world of COVID-19 and the vaccines and the pandemic and all this stuff. And also Bill Gates. Bill Gates also in the news. Everybody,
yeah,
cringy.
These are kind of cringe-worthy moments that happened on TV recently.
Yeah, cringe me. So let's start.
Start with six.
Six. So we have a fully vaxxed MSNBC host. Now, remember, if you're on MSNBC, you cannot speak negatively of vaccine side effects.
Yes, you must be vaxxed boosted.
You must be vaxxed, boosted. And
Which is fully vaxxed.
And no matter how many times you keep getting COVID,
you just keep getting boosted.
You keep talking about how great the vaccine is. And
you sign up for your once a year shot in advance.
Somewhere along the way, you've lost what should have been the whole concept of the vaccine is to keep you from continuing to get sick. And now they're claiming they never said that. Of course, they did. But anyway, so, and Bubba, you cannot speak. You cannot speak of any of these heart issues that are developing. I never can say it right.
Myocarditis.
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 Myocarditis and
pericarditis?
Let's see. Let me read it.
I don't know.
The pericarditis.
Pericarditis.
What's the difference in the two?
She'll kind of explain it.
Okay. Yeah, it takes a second for her to get there, but she'll explain.
Now remember, this is not associated with the vaccine at all, and not even associated with COVID at all. It's an obscure virus that will not be mentioned. She even almost suggests the common cold to this.
She does.
Yeah. So here we go.
I know from my Twitter feed that many of you have wondered why I have been off the air for a little while. Well, I have been dealing with a little bit of a health scare. On December 20th, I began to feel chest pains, and they waxed and waned over a period of 10 days. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it, but as they continued to get worse, I started to think something was actually wrong. It was December 30th when I finally went to an urgent care and was told I had reflux. I didn't really buy it, but I was relieved it wasn't my heart. My body, though, was pretty certain not to believe the reflux. The next day, on December 30th, I woke up with severe pains both in my chest and in my left shoulder, and it was like a tightening in my chest when I took deep breaths. That got worse when I was laying flat. I knew enough at that moment to understand that it could mean, could is the key word here, that I was having a heart attack, especially because it was happening in the left part of my shoulder. I want to remind you, I run 7 miles 3 to 4 times a week, or I did. I do yoga. I don't eat meat. I don't smoke. I drink occasionally. Not right now, though, because my doctor tells me I can't. Aside from probably not getting enough sleep and working too much, I'm a pretty healthy person. But on that day, I was anything but. My husband drove me to the emergency room, and from there, the nightmare that has been my January began. I was diagnosed with pericarditis, inflammation of the lining of my heart, brought on by a virus, a literal common cold. I also had fluid around my heart that had to be drained or else it could hinder the beating of my heart. I was hospitalized for 4 nights and transferred from a local hospital to NYU Langone here in New York City. On January 4th, I was finally discharged after doctors drained the fluid around my heart, and I bounced out of the hospital. I couldn't get out of there fast enough with the hopes I was on the mend. But that was not the end. 3 days later, I was readmitted when I felt a flutter in my heart, like a butterfly. It was inside my chest. They determined I had developed myocarditis, inflammation of the actual heart now, the heart muscle. I remember being shepherded through the emergency room and wondering, is this it? It wasn't, thank God. Instead, I spent 5 more days in the hospital where they ran a battery of tests.
Okay, is that the end of that?
That's the end of that.
Of course, remember, it's common cold has caused this common virus.
Well, there are different viruses can cause those issues, but there's also, you know, one in particular that we're seeing a lot of.
Well, and we are hearing this a lot. We got a lot more of this going on, it seems to me, than we've had in the past. But there's no way she's going to draw a line to anything. There's things she can't say about it.
Yeah, Rick, I spoke with someone recently that does a lot of sonograms on people, echocardiogram, because it's the heart, but a Doppler scans on blood flow, and she told me that she had seen personally a tremendous uptick in blood clots.
Oh yeah,
in the last year or so.
We see it in our life group we're teaching. We've got all kinds of stuff going on there involving that, and never really been seen before. But I have no expertise to draw lines accurately, but there's some common sense that comes in all this too. I think. I mean,
well, it can be other viruses too. I mean, Betty and I had a discussion a long time ago about a lot of the people that. You know, just seem to be in good health and will literally drop dead jogging. You know, we use that example, but that does happen sometimes. And she says, you know, there are viruses that can settle in the heart muscle and cause enlarging of the heart and, you know, some other issues. So it's a fallen world. A lot of stuff out there to get you.
A lot of stuff out there to get you. And so no mention there of it being anything other than that. So that's her.
And I hate she's having to deal with it.
Oh, it's terrible. It's awful. So we'll come back. We have another one.
We'll see Bill Gates. He was on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, and apparently goes into a panic involving Jeffrey Epstein. So and it sounds like that Tucker had something he didn't know Tucker had.
Well,
and
the look on his face.
Yeah. The funniest thing I heard on Bill Gates this week was, you know, he loves to lecture all of us on all this about the vaccines and the pandemic and all that. And they had a picture of him, and it doesn't look like that Bill has really looked after his health too much. And the person said, I'm just not going to let somebody talk to me about my health when it doesn't appear they are policing their own very well.
It's always looked like he needs to get out and get a little sun, doesn't he?
He does. God love him. And so we'll play that for you when we come back. 866 We Be Big is the number.
He almost, if you look right at him when Tucker brings this up, it looks like he had a blue screen face.
Oh, really? Yeah. You can go get that in, aren't you? That and John Kerry with the long face.
Oh, got to.
Top of the hour. More Rick and Bubba coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Rick, glad to be here, and we appreciate all of you and your support for our 30th year of doing the Rick and Bubba Show full time.
All right, so let's keep
had it about a year part time.
Yeah, we did. Let's keep it neat. let's finish all COVID stuff and then go to Bill Gates' panic, because it felt a little clunky if we try to do that and then go back to this other stuff. So since we were talking about the vaxxed MSNBC host. And so let's run through, let's start.
Can I ask one thing?
Sure.
And an emailer had brought this up. They said, now that she's been diagnosed with this, do you think her doctor will recommend that she gets the next booster?
That's a great question. Really a great question. So let's hit a couple of things here. Let's now do 1A. And this is where Biden will announce the end to it. Then we'll do Sheila Jackson Lee. Then we'll do Jordan Peterson. Then we'll go to Gates. How you like that? All right, so let's start with Biden. He's going to announce that the COVID emergency will end. And he has a little bit of a slip up here, but here we go.
Yeah, and you're going to hear his comments from yesterday speaking to a reporter, and then it's going to flash back to before the midterms, and Biden says the pandemic is over.
Sure.
So it's pretty contradictory.
Okay.
Well, the emergency will end with the report exit.
The COVID emergency will end when the Supreme Court ends it, is what he said yesterday.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over.
Okay.
Hey, let's hear that first one again, Adler.
I can't even understand him. Listen.
Right. The emergency will end when the Supreme Court ends it.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over.
All right, so first of all, I thought it was Congress that is going to – well, it's not the Supreme Court. I mean, it's
all that's coming into play now. Right. You know, there's a lot of people not wanting this to end, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of financial gain and reason that some people would love for this to go on forever and a day.
Apparently, Sheila Jackson Lee, no offense, doesn't know what it takes to define a pandemic, because she's about to say the pandemic is over and they give us a number that does not equate a pandemic. So I don't even know where she got the number, but even if the number was accurate,
she's going to say it's not over.
Yeah,
I know.
But what I'm saying is the number she's using to say it's not over is not a number that would deem a pandemic. Okay. Even if her number is accurate, that's not that amount of people
she's trying to scare you.
It's not a pandemic,
number, but I don't,
it's not a scary number. You think about how many people we got in this country. Okay. So here is Representative Sheila Jackson Lee disagreeing with the president.
We lost a million people on not having that vaccination timely. And so I am struck by this legislation. The pandemic is not over. 500 people a day die right now as I'm standing here from COVID.
First of all, I don't know where that number came from, but that's not really a large number when you consider how many people die every day of all kinds of things in a country this large. And I don't even know if she's grabbing where that number is even coming from.
Yeah, we'll try to find it.
But anyway, she says it isn't over. Bubba, you mentioned why some people would not want it to be over. Somehow I think she would be in that group.
Well,
there's a lot of her past.
Yeah, there's a lot of government money flowing
to
people for this. There's a lot of people not having to go to work. There's a lot of people not having to pay their student loan back.
Right.
There's people that don't have to pay their rent right now. And all of that's coming to a halt.
Jordan Peterson, whether you like him, don't like him, agree with him, don't agree with him, he is a good communicator, and he stays calm, and his logical view of things, even things that he doesn't necessarily adhere to, he's able to speak logic into the inconsistencies of all kinds of things. And now he is just going to do what we've tried to do, Bubba, and say, well, I mean, we have to consider multiple reasons for the things we see. We can't just declare some are okay and some are not. You have to say, here, all these theories for some of the things we're seeing in the aftermath are legitimate. And so listen to how he puts it. It's only a minute. Here he is.
You don't know if the vaccines killed more people than they saved. You actually don't know that. Well, no, we don't know that because we didn't have time to do the studies. Okay, that means you don't know it. And things go wrong badly. Now, I don't know if you know this, but you might, but there's been a substantial spike in all-cause mortality in Europe in the last 5 months. Like in Spain, it's 36% above normal. Why? Well, there's two possible reasons, and I don't know which of these is true, and there might be other reasons. One is the vaccines are killing people. Now, I doubt that, but it's possible. Okay, now, the more likely cause, I believe, is that because we prioritized COVID lockdown above all else, we stopped people from receiving necessary medical care on all sorts of fronts, and we stressed them three quarters to death. And so now, a bunch of them are dying. And my suspicions are, if we did the all-cause mortality analysis with any degree of propriety, we'd find that the whole lockdown process, I suspect it'll kill 100 people for everyone it saved. That's my guess. Now, that's a guess.
He's saying, look, people are dying at high rates right now, and he said vaccine could be it. He said, I'm not saying it is. Could be, but I'll tell you what, it's more likely it's the way we handled it. We kept people from getting medical care that they needed. We terrified people, and now they're dying because they didn't get the medical care they normally would have gotten, and the lockdowns probably killed more people than they saved. That one is very plausible. But what he's taking on is you can't declare vaccines have nothing to do with any of this. Lockdowns didn't have anything to do with any of this. You can't say that. You don't know that. Just like it'd be wrong for us to say that we do know. That's all he's saying is you can't take any of this and say you know it. Ruling that out, that ain't it. You don't know that. And he said, then you tell us you didn't have time to do studies to know, which means you still don't know. That's just walking around sense.
And you don't know.
Yeah. It's so important to be able to ask these questions.
Correct.
That's the whole thing. We need to be able to talk about it.
When a mob screams, certain things are off the table and cannot be spoken, that should always concern us. And if I was somebody that, you know, like for instance, you hear this all the time about charities. Let's just admit it, and we don't know whether it's true or not. The charities and ministries that will not let you see their books, it's easy to be suspect of them. Yeah. The ones that are completely transparent, we're not suspect of them. You know why? We can see it. So when organizations say everything's not on the table, what does that make us? Suspicious.
We're suspicious, yep. Yeah.
Put it all on the table. Let's look at all of it.
I think I know where Sheila Jackson Lee is getting her number from. If you go to the CDC running trend of deaths that they attribute to COVID per week.
Be careful.
They don't
do
a day. They do it by the week.
Mm-hmm.
Weekly deaths in the last survey they have out here is 3,756. If you divide that by seven, you get 536. I think that's where she's getting it.
Now, if someone dies of an overdose of fentanyl but has COVID, which one do they
label you know, that? We've seen that, you know, we've seen that through the whole
they
thing.
They say 175 die every day of fentanyl overdose, but
right.
But the point, Rick, to your point, we're talking about 3,000 deaths in a week right now. And if you look at the graph from the past 2 years, we're way, way, way down.
Well,
I mean, we were close to 25,000 deaths a week at one time.
Our estimated population right now is 336 million.
Yeah, you might as well round it to 350.
That's a lot of folks.
Yeah,
and 3,000 is not a big number when you have that many people. And Bubba just told you the number has been much higher. So there comes a time when the emergency part of that is over, Sheila Jackson Lee. I'm sorry if your constituents don't like it and you can't play them as well. It's not an emergency. It's there. You don't want to get it. You don't want to be sick. I don't want to be sick of anything. But people get sick.
No, you can die from the flu. You're still dead.
Yeah, yeah. Emergency means, oh my gosh, we got people dropping like flies. We got to change the way we're living.
We all know we're nothing like we were in the fall of 20 and 21 and all that. No. So,
plus,
and
if you were just being honest,
thank the Lord above.
Right, but if you were just being honest, when you hear the death total, you know. You're not sure what to believe because the fudging of the numbers.
Well, and that's not even up for debate anymore. We even have people in the CDC that have admitted to us, yeah, the numbers were fudged. Some of the standards we were using were way off.
All right.
So you don't even know if the number, how they tied it to COVID. You don't even know that.
No. Yeah, assuming it's correct, that's where she's getting it at.
Yeah, and that's still not a big number. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, Bill Gates, Tucker is going to play. Is it NBC that's you said was interviewing Billy Gates?
It's ABC, and it looks like it might be a British network, mm-hmm. ABC network, but I couldn't tell.
We are speaking today with Bill Gates.
Yeah, there you go.
I was wondering.
So let's start, and he gets cornered on his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. He doesn't like it. Then Tucker Carlson, who's playing this interview for us, will play his own wife, Bill Gates' wife, talking about how much she despises Jeffrey Epstein.
Watch for the blue screen.
So this will be ugly, as Bubba said. Watch for the blue screen. Here we go.
Bill Gates, on the question of his close friend Jeffrey Epstein, Gates was telling us, well, he's dead, so who cares? But thankfully, for once, the media did something right, and today asked Bill Gates about Jeffrey Epstein anyway. And here's how that went.
One of the issues that's dogged you is that of your relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Do you regret the relationship that you maintained with him against Melinda's advice and wishes?
Oh, I've said that you're going way back in mm-hmm. time. But yeah,
new audience.
I will say for the, over 100th time, yeah, I shouldn't have had dinners with him.
Epstein had a way of sexually compromising people. Is that what Melinda was warning you about?
No. I mean, it's...
Blue screen.
No, I had dinner with him, and that's all.
Mm. Yeah, it was just dinner. What my ex-wife said about our divorce and Jeffrey Epstein had nothing to do with sex. So what did his ex-wife... This is Bill Gates, one of the world's richest men, a guy who got rich selling horrible software and then buying up all our farmland and forcing medicine on you don't want. What did his ex-wife say about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein? Well, we actually have the tape. Watch this carefully.
It was also widely reported that Bill had a friendship or business or some kind of contact with Jeffrey Epstein and that you were not, that was very upsetting to you. Did that play a role in the divorce at all in this process?
Yeah, as I said, it's not one thing. It was many things. But I did not like that he'd had meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you made that clear to him?
I made that clear to him. I also met Jeffrey Epstein exactly one time.
Did you?
Yes, because I wanted to see who this man was. And I regretted it from the second I stepped in the door. He was abhorrent. He was evil personified. I had nightmares about it afterwards.
A little bit of exaggeration there, but
so
still.
So Bill Gates' wife is describing a man, her former husband, who was somehow addicted to seeing this guy, Jeffrey Epstein. Why is that? Why would he keep going back to the point his wife had to stage a kind of intervention by going with him?
Yeah, that's ugly.
We know what that was. You're hanging out with this dude. I want him. Who is this guy?
No, you're right. Yeah.
Well, she wasn't that concerned over him going to dinner with him one time.
Right.
Yeah, it was bigger than that.
Yeah, it was more than that.
Yeah. Dinners.
Dinners. Yeah, I heard that S.
Right.
From Bill Gates himself. That hurts. When he said it was just one time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Cringe worthy.
Really, and he really doesn't want to talk about it. He really does. And
did you like his first? Well, you're going way back. In time
way
there.
Back. Yeah, don't want to be linked to Epstein. Last time I checked, he's dead. But that's
killed himself. In fact, in prison.
Of course, he did.
Yeah,
and didn't
while the video cameras were out,
mm-hmm. came out and said that. What was
Ghislaine Maxwell?
Ghislaine. She had some comments to say last week about that.
Oh yeah, like he didn't kill himself. Basically, is what she said.
Yeah, or that he was allowed to. She kind of I'm hinting around a little bit.
Look, the way is she in Pensacola? Isn't she in the prison down there?
Is that Chrisley? I'm not sure where she is. Is she there too?
Is it the same one?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does Chrisley know the best? I don't know. Picture him in jail.
Oh, right. Maxwell is in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Close.
Pensacola, in Florida.
Yeah. Up in the northern part.
Sure.
I knew it was somewhere down there.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Chrisley's. Is he in jail?
Yeah.
Are they reported?
Yeah. I heard some people that know about that jail, and it's a white collar jail.
Sure.
They have yoga there.
Yeah. It's a white collar crime. I mean, I don't think he's a threat to beat anybody up on the street.
No.
His wife is the one in Florida. He's in a different one, right?
Yeah, they're in different ones.
Yeah, they're in different ones, but he's in Pensacola, is what I remember. I could have that wrong.
I thought it was her. I thought she was the one down there.
Who knows?
Good night.
Yeah. I bet Chrisley going to jail is kind of like Bill Gates going to an Epstein party. You know,
So if she got creeped out by him, how do you think as soon as he walks in the door, you just sense what type of person?
Well, have you ever been around that? I've been around people that you go, okay, wow, this person's evil. You can just sense it. You sense that aura.
It's a little over the top.
I do think that she possibly could be, and I'm not saying she is, but you know, the embellishment is at an all time high right now.
Sure.
When someone's this wicked, you want to distance yourself from them as far as you possibly can. So I think she no question, I believe she didn't like him.
Yeah.
And I absolutely believe she didn't want her husband associated with him in any way, shape, or form. That I totally believe.
Mm-hmm.
The minute I saw him, I felt evil and had nightmares about him. That might be a little bit of an embellishment, just to get me a little more distance away from him. But nobody think at all that I liked him, even for a second. But maybe.
I think she knew something was going on weird with her husband and him, and
oh, yeah.
I had to meet him exactly once to find out who this guy was.
I think everybody knew that he was strange and that something weird was going on.
Well, yeah.
You remember even Trump made the comment about him, you know, when he did the soundbite about him and said, you know, this guy, he likes him young. You remember?
Yes.
I mean, he said that just casually. So you know that had to be kind of the running theme. Wow, he likes him young.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which should have been flags and bells going off, but the guy was throwing around a lot of money to campaign, so nobody cared as long as the checks were flying.
Well, it's funny when checks fly that people overlook things. It's been a bit of a human nature problem.
The old blinders.
Oh. And that's the reason why, I mean, it's when people have big checks to write and they can write some of those checks to you, and you're a person who needs people to write checks to you. It's amazing how difficult it is not to overlook their shortcomings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. for the greater good of that I'm going to do when I'm in office.
I told a friend of mine that one time, and just out of love, you know, I said, if this person was not in a position financially they are, you would not tolerate this in any other person.
Right. Probably true. And we all probably do it to some degree.
Bottom of the hour, more Rick and Bubba coming up right after this.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so tomorrow, big day. Our very own Eddie.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah, our very own Eddie Van Hadler. And
it is. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. When will the baby see its shadow?
We'll let it go.
Oh, I know.
And so tomorrow is the day. Are you ready for this again?
Boy.
Oh, wow. Buddy.
Huh? You ready for this again? You ready for that again?
Yeah.
That's coming.
It is.
Yeah, I'm going to be tired for the next 6 months, guys. I'm trying to give a ton today because it's going to have to last for the next 6 months.
I want to know why you've come up with 6 months.
Because I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be real tired.
You know? Why are you cutting it off at six?
It got a lot easier with Ruby. It kind of tapers. You know,
with
you get
Ruby
zero.
With one.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying, but Ruby sleeps through the night, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's just that's going to be the hardest time period.
The first 6 months will be the hardest 6 months, at least to start with.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. To be continued.
So, Adler, I thought it was interesting. I'd ask you in the break earlier in the show if you had a name yet, and I understand – with a lot of moms, they don't want to give the name till the baby's actually here.
Right.
Or as Betty once said, don't share your name with anybody that has a uterus. Right. So,
wow. So, wise counsel.
So you, we still don't know the name, but where are we at on that? What is, will you name the baby once it's here?
Yeah, we didn't want to say the name because, like, you know, people make a face and whatever, you know, or they're like try to talk you out of it.
So it must
or
be
whatever.
Something.
Or name a dog after it.
Or God forbid they name their dog after there's it. That would be terrible and embarrassing.
Some of us had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. Right. Yes. So that would hurt. Right. That would hurt our feelings a lot.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Ruby Sue, two different things.
The. Except for that Ruby part.
Right.
Four letters.
She was like first two. Name. She was like two at the time.
Ruby Jane versus Ruby Sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But but anyway, you're right. They're nowhere near similar.
No.
But anyway, so.
Totally different thing.
Right.
Completely different.
But you're right.
Like apple and apple juice.
Well, see, what that tells me is you have the name, you just don't want any reaction to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we do have the name, and in fact,
do you?
Aaron, it's not going to be Thor, is it?
Aaron's number one and my number one are different, but our but our number two is the same. So we're probably going to end up going with number two.
Okay,
yeah, we have.
So,
we have
so
the
you're
middle
saying
name agreed upon.
You both have a top two list, but they're not the same.
Correct. Our number ones differ. Our number two is the same.
That's funny.
We've agreed on the middle name already. It's a family name on both sides. It's biblical. It's great. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, Abraham.
And maybe,
I like that.
Maybe Josadiah. So, yeah, maybe I can get my number one moved up. But if not, I'm okay with number two.
So when do
you might want to make that call.
Who makes the final call and when do they make it?
When they're like, it's a boy. And we're like, we knew that already. That probably is when we make the call, I think.
So you,
they,
no way you're going to win
filling out the birth
this.
Certificate.
There's no way I'll
no
win
way you
no,
win this.
No way.
No,
no way.
It's going to be whatever name she wants, and I can speak to that. But let me say this.
Sure.
Let me say this, okay? What in the world? And I know modern technology and all that. What in the world will y'all do if it's not a boy?
Well, I can verify it's a boy.
Well, we—I don't think we ever did a baby prediction, did we?
Yeah.
Well,
have you seen the?
Well, I've seen some things.
Yeah, yeah.
I've
seen some things.
And you feel good
the
about
detail
it.
In that these days.
It's phenomenal.
Oh, 3D.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy good.
Yeah. It's like what is the office? The office printers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like sitting on one of those.
Yeah, that's funny.
You can tell what it is.
That's funny. But anyway, so the name will be determined, and she will win.
She will.
So just be ready for that.
Yeah, you're right.
It was. And this is going to get you because you have a brother named this. Sherry and I, with Brody, it was – she wanted Brady, and I said, he'll be Brady Bunch. Everybody called him Brady Bunch. And she goes, kids his age don't know the Brady Bunch. And I said, I'm telling you, he's going to be Brady Bunch.
Yeah, but the uncles do.
And then I wanted Brock, and she said, Brock's too – that's too much.
That's strong.
She said that's too much. So we compromised on Brody somewhere – it was, but notice it was closer to Brady than Brock.
Right,
Brady Brock Brody.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's whatever. Healthy, we're happy. That's
any
the
chance,
whole thing.
10 fingers, 10 toes. Any chance when he arrives that she looks down and goes, "Wow!" So he definitely looks like that number two choice that you picked. Yeah. Any chance of that?
Well,
you think?
I mean, I'm pulling for Kevin Jr. You know. So.
Yeah, that's always that would be a good
my
one.
Dog's name is Kevin. Kevin Jr. Fine.
Name him after your dog.
Kevin Franklin Adler.
Right. Yes.
I'm kidding.
Middle name
that
Franklin.
Be beautiful. Do y'all still have the cat?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
what's the cat?
Smolder.
Mulder.
Yeah. So are you going to call us and keep us updated, or how do?
Yeah. What's our format tomorrow?
We actually, I will just be filling out paperwork during the entire show tomorrow. It won't nothing. It'll only be paperwork and like you know checking pulses and things like that all the way through the show ending. So, but before the show ends tomorrow, you guys won't have any news, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So just the timing of it.
What do you think the time it's going to be? Do you have a general guess?
Tomorrow afternoon is kind of it's a scheduled
somewhere in there.
It's a scheduled C-section. Last time around, we went through 19 hours of labor, and things began to stall out. They're like, we got to get this baby out of here.
Yeah.
So once you do that once, they generally just schedule it
correct
for the second time around.
Yeah, right. I went through that because there's always that all the doctors are like, look, you can try to go as my doctor referred to it from below. But once you've had a C-section, if things get dicey, we're going to do a C-section again anyway, real quick. Now we're going to go to it even quicker than we would have before.
Right.
So you might as well just do the scheduled C-section.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. I do have my hospital bag packed.
Okay. I'd like to know what's
got,
in it.
Got underwear.
Oh, boy.
Just in case. Just in case. I'm doing my normal thing, packing my bags as if I'm going to use the restroom in my pants like 3 times a day.
Right.
I don't know why we do that on vacation, but we do.
Well, you'd rather have too much.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. That's true. Extra socks. it's going to be a stressful environment.
What about your hair products?
I got a couple rubber bands. Got them off.
Okay, that's good.
I got them off the broccoli last night. Those are the good ones.
Where
can I get some of those? By the way, I mean those. You could tow a car with those rubber bands. It's on the broccoli. Let's sell those in the stores, please.
Can I ask you something, broccoli man? I noticed when you hit your head on the bed the other night going in to check on Ruby.
Yes.
Yeah.
You had it in a bun. Will you keep it in a bun as birth dad?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had a hairnet on my head during the procedure, and then they also made me wear one on my beard too, in addition to like mask for bruising, you know.
Well, so, you worked at a deli.
Yeah, right. I'm going to be hairnetted up.
So, well, yeah, cuz I think that's good cuz you don't want your son to be confused on who his mother is.
All right.
The beard helps.
That does help, but it'll be covered, so that's why I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm going to look like a lunch lady, be like, "Who wants some sloppy joes? I know you kids like them sloppy." But I'll try not to say that.
That's on my list of underappreciated foods, by the way.
Scream hot stuff, no matter what you're bringing through.
Square pizza coming through.
You have a bucket of ice, you scream hot stuff.
Big day tomorrow.
Very big day. I am a little bit stressed out, and I think I'm going to want to blow off some steam while at the hospital, so I'm going to bring my heavy bag with me for my punch bag.
Okay.
So I'll put it in the
put
corner.
It away.
Hang it right there.
Put it away.
So do you need anything from us? How can we assist you?
Not to bother you,
better?
Bottom line.
Probably making James Spann a phone call instead of a Zoom.
That's already been done.
Yeah.
That's done.
You know Spann, he's always going to Tom somewhere.
Yes. Done. And we do have Blazing Silverman as the intern to fill in on YouTube. It will probably be a little bit scaled back just for a few days. I'll be back next Wednesday. It'll be all back to normal. And thank you guys so much for this time. I'm so thankful to my wife. She's been an absolute champion. She has been absolutely miserable for about 3 months now. And we're almost to the finish line. Thank you for your prayers. And little boy Adler coming up tomorrow.
Rick and Bubba.
So we're looking at a story to start the hour. We'll get to some of your phone calls in the next segment. Here's the headline. 22-year-old assistant coach on a JV girls basketball team in Virginia impersonated a 13-year-old player that was out of town.
Rick, I have never heard anything so ridiculous.
So we have the package. We can watch the story. The coach got busted trying to pretend to be a 13-year-old player on the team by just simply wearing the player's uniform.
How about that?
So here is the story.
That an assistant coach on the team named Arlisha Boykins impersonated a 13-year-old player on the team that was out of town for a club basketball tournament. Here's video from that game. Churchland is in the black uniforms. Number one right there that just came up with the black block shot. We're told that as Arlisha Boykins, they were taking on Nansman River. This video has been edited to show you some of the highlights. Arlisha is apparently a 22-year-old young woman
22.
Going up against 14 and 15-year-old girls. Now, we have confirmed that Boykins is no longer an employee of Portsmouth Public Schools. And since this game, the student athletes on the team and parents decided to just end the season. They will not be playing any more games this year.
What?
Portsmouth Public Schools did launch an investigation into this matter. The details have not been revealed by officials quite yet.
Good night.
Hey, she was balling.
I love that she gave the and one after that.
Yeah. Right.
I'm out here with the kids.
Well, at least if you're going to put a 22-year-old into a 15-year-old game, at least she was paying dividends.
I mean,
hate for her to be passive.
Yeah. I made a big play in a junior high game, but nobody ever caught me.
You know, if they'd have put her in a high school game, she might have got away with it.
I know.
She might have, but wasn't the plan maybe for her to kind of just blend in and not show
she's
out?
Blocking
yeah. She's blocking
shots.
I mean, she is reliving.
She got caught up in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at this play.
She has gone back in time, and she's back in JV play.
Count it.
Do you think, hey, time out. Y'all come over here. Hey, what are you doing?
You're supposed
to be passive of all the people.
How do y'all think that it happened? How did she get busted? I mean,
somebody told on her.
Was somebody who, I don't know how much scouting you do on JV, but was somebody saying, look, I saw number one in the last game and she didn't do anything? I mean,
think about how many people had to go along with this.
How do you feel if you're
just
one
for
of the
that
kids?
Day.
What kind, yes. Do you think the kids, did they were they glad she did this?
Yeah, they were all in on it.
Yeah, I know, but they're kids. I mean, couldn't the coach just say this is what we're doing?
Maybe who empty skimped on them.
I know.
One of the players.
Doggone company pimp.
Yeah. Didn't like it.
Mm-mm.
The one that would have started in that girl's spot.
Well, there's a girl sitting on the bench, so they had enough people. If you'll look on the other end,
I didn't even think about that. There's somebody down there.
See, there's somebody sitting on the
bench. Yeah, but she's not very good.
Yeah, but come on.
Maybe another assistant coach.
Well, they're in uniform.
That is
well, so.
Well,
so is the other.
And maybe she's hurt, but she can go out there and stand.
Something. You know?
Hey, no.
Now the whole season's been
canceled. Wait a minute. Go back and look at that. Is that a brother or dad over going? You think it's like, man, why aren't you playing? You ought to be out there. Look, right there, somebody's talking. No, that must be the coach, is it? Who's talking to her right there?
I don't know.
Is that person behind the seat? Or I can't tell what
they're behind it, but I don't know if I
that's
see
going to hurt her in her next coaching job.
It says the JV head coach. Mm-hmm. Says the JV head coach, along with the head coach of the varsity girls basketball team, have both been fired as well. And the head coach was encouraging the behavior.
Well, I bet.
The varsity coach was encouraging the behavior during the game, it said.
I hate to say it. Look at the score, though. It's the fourth quarter, 3 minutes left, and they're behind.
Yeah.
But 13
must not have been much of an advantage.
The dad of the 13-year-old says coaches has always preached to the kids about integrity and those types of things. I was just shocked to hear what they did.
Well, the game must go on.
And the 13-year-old girl that was impersonated is not coming back to that school, going to pursue other opportunities.
Well, she's on a club team. She might be pretty good.
Right. Yeah. They had to replace that good player.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that is hilarious.
Somebody was like, I saw number one holding a clipboard last game. Yeah. What's going on this time?
What are you thinking? You know somebody's going to tell. If it's not somebody from the other team figuring it out, somebody on your side will blab.
Right, that's probably what happened.
What are you thinking? So
no way everybody got on board.
Well, obviously not.
Can I tell you all this? I think I can say it now since enough time's passed. It's not the same thing. So I was coaching
That time you dressed out in JV?
But I made a big play. If you remember, hey, on third down, we needed
that's
that.
That's true,
right? Yeah. That didn't happen. But I'll tell you, this happened. So I was coaching a team, and we had an absolute stud on the team that got hurt, okay? So everybody agreed that he was too hurt to continue, okay? So we had him out of the game. And you know how sometimes you have to go get their uniform or they'll go back in? So we made him take his jersey off and hand it to the trainer and all that. Well, we got in a tight situation and we got in a bind. And so we're down at the end and it is either we get the ball and score and win or we're going to overtime, okay? And nobody was paying attention. And all of a sudden on the face off, I look and this player wearing a different number is playing lights out like I've never seen before, and he went right down the field and scored and won the game, and then I noticed how bad he was limping, and all this, and I realized that our player had taken somebody's jersey, put it on, went in the game, and won the game, and in the end,
well, how about that?
Right, and I thought to myself, well, we did win.
He obviously made the right call.
Really? He got somebody.
Sure enough, time's passed.
Yeah, he got somebody on the sideline to give him his jersey. And so it wasn't like he was illegal. We were saying you're too hurt to play.
Yeah. He snuck in on you.
Yeah, so he snuck in on us.
And you chose to look the other way.
Now, when I saw him make the goal and win the game, suddenly I wasn't all that mad about it.
No.
You said, well, if he can do that, I should have left him in.
Yeah, maybe I should have left him.
I thought to myself, well, maybe he's right. For one play, I mean, he got it done. It was quite the moment. And then he just kind of limps off the field and goes over and sits down. I'm like, well, not a way to be tough.
They suck it up.
Yeah, but that did happen. And I'm not exaggerating. He got the ball, went right down and scored, and won the game with a magnificent shot. But that was
well, wasn't that hurt?
Yeah. Well, right. He was. And, well, you know, it's kind of like when you saw Mahomes. For one play, I'm going to run as hard as I can. It was one of those.
Yeah, I couldn't do the whole half.
Couldn't do a whole game, but I could do one play.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me think, as a coach, I should have been thinking that too.
Yeah. I held him out.
You think you can give us one right here? He would have said yes. So really, I guess
got one in me.
Yeah, that was good. But this is different.
We're just playing now. I'm a coach. I'm 22. I'm playing.
Yeah. Well, I remember. You remember? Because it's JV. I don't know how many of you know the legend of JV out there. I don't know how many of you have ever played sports. Your B team years. We called it B team. Some people call it JV. But those years, it really is a world of anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who people have got on teams. Now, normally they don't have a coach. This is over the line.
Right.
But I vividly remember being on B team, and we'd be playing some school,
okay? And we're all out there on B team. We're just all a bunch of B team goodens. And it would be like 3rd and 11, and we'd be all excited. And then, like, a new offense would come in.
Yeah.
And, like another player would come off the sideline.
And their helmets were slightly different.
Their helmet looked a lot like the varsity.
Because they dressed with the varsity.
Yeah. And this person would run over our entire defense mm-hmm. and get a first down.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is weird. Yeah. You
Why don't they just leave him in if he's so good?
Right. Then he'd go back out, and then he'd come back in when they needed him. You know, you never knew what you were facing in JV world.
No.
Now, normally, again, we don't face coaches dressed out. I'll acknowledge that. But the B team world. It's a little bit anything goes.
Yeah.
In other words, they use whatever strength they needed to get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. They didn't quite want to play him on the JV because they need him Friday, but in this situation, let's let him run it once.
Yeah. Once or twice, right. Won't hurt.
Yeah. So you never knew what you were getting. Because if they need somebody to get reps, you might be facing somebody like really good.
Right.
And if you're still reeling from that, two more retirements announced today.
Rick, Ozzy Osbourne, 74, announces retirement from touring and cancels all remaining shows after spinal surgery and his battle with Parkinson's.
Does Sharon know about this?
Sharon.
She's going to let him off the road.
Sharon won't. She'll put him out there on the road when that money can start getting a little low. Sharon!
He was due to kick off his European tour in May, originally set to go in 2019. And then rescheduled three different times. But it's now officially been canceled with all other future
Greg,
dates.
Greg, he can't do it. He just can't physically and mentally do it.
I mean, she's used him up. There's nothing left.
There's nothing left of Ozzy.
They've rode that pony as far as they're going
to be. Oh, the fact they've made it this far is incredible.
Blackberry Smoke said that this ain't much left to see.
I got a cat.
Ozzy's just... How many times can you run him?
I mean, the poor man's got Parkinson's. Get him off the road.
I think his first retirement tour was like 20-something years ago.
That's funny.
Because it was like titled like his last tour or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And then he came back.
Well, Sharon kept putting him out there. Remember, he's not going to Albuquerque.
No.
God, there he was.
That slayed Bubba and me. We didn't know what to do with it. What a perfect edit.
I saw him about a year or a decade ago. I saw Ozzy about a decade ago.
I remember.
And it was not good, guys. No. It was bad.
That was.
They were killing his mic. He would be like, yeah, and they would literally turn. They had somebody turning down his mic when he was off key. It was not good.
And you know they had tracks now, probably.
I mean, a lot of it was tracked, but when he was trying to get in the mic and really hit it hard, because he did a lot of like, yeah, you know, like he still kind of had that aspect of it. Like he would throw buckets of water in the crowd and stuff like that. He did have a little bit of that, but as far as singing chops, it was not good.
Yeah.
It was tampering with the memories a decade ago.
So. Wow. Oh, yeah, they got at least a good decade and a half that they shouldn't have got.
But he's not going to Albuquerque.
It was rough.
And, Bubba, are you okay on this other announcement?
Well, Dr. Phil, it looks like, is ending his TV talk show.
Him and Ozzy.
He is going to pursue, he says, other projects after the show's 21st season. Now, I find it shocking that he's been on for 21 years.
Mm. Remember, this is 21st season. Do they have more seasons in a year? I don't know. I'm just asking.
I wouldn't think so, but
who knows?
Wasn't he a spinoff of Oprah? Then he used to be one of Oprah's guests.
Yeah, I think he was Oprah guest and got his
Does
own
Does he work
gig,
for right? O?
I don't know.
The O's company?
Didn't they have a falling out?
Did they?
I may have made that up.
Did you dream that or something?
I think you did.
I thought they had a little spat over something.
Yeah. Oh, lover's spat. Oh.
All right.
That's what Greg said.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it Dr. Oz come
that from? May be who.
Did they both come from her? I think they did.
No, yeah, no. Dr. Phil began his TV career on the Oprah Winfrey Show in the late 90s and made his talk show debut with Dr. Phil in September of 2002. Well, the show was an instant smash, holding the number one or two spot in its genre for its entire run, as well as scoring 31 Emmy nominations.
Well, Bubba, did he say why he's retiring?
Well, Rick, he said it run its course. You know, it's like a creek. It runs dry sometimes. The possum eventually gets to the other side of the road.
Catch me outside. How about that?
That's his most famous one.
Yeah. But I guess Dr. Oz did come from Oprah.
Yeah, and that's who I'm thinking, because he went conservative, and she was obviously she endorsed a weirdo against him.
She endorsed a weirdo.
Yeah. Fetterman.
Let's not forget Festerman. He's been elected.
Yeah, that probably didn't help their relationship. Yeah.
It is crazy that he's been on that long. It doesn't seem that way. Dr.
He's been
Phil.
Around a while. Voice of Reason.
How about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Today, Tom Brady, Ozzy Osbourne, and Dr. Phil.
Wow, what a lineup.
Everybody's
huh?
coming out today. They're done.
Big day. What a loss.
But Joey Behar is still at work. Unfortunately, yes. Can we not get a retirement out of her in the game?
No way.
No, they're going to hang on the whoopster. Let me tell you something. They'll hang on like long form COVID.
Yeah, he's staying in Ozzy. If you're wondering,
he's staying in Ozzy. If you're wondering,
are you staying over in Ozzy?
I got it.
Well, Speedy, I don't think
that's not it.
That sounds like
he's got some challenges, but I don't think they're quite to that point.
I think I got him.
I mean, that's not it at all.
Don't judge it, man.
You know, Dr. Phil.
It's a little bit of Forrest Gump.
It's Forrest Gump. What are you going to do? Is Ozzy going to tell us life's like a box of chocolate?
Dr. Phil has several other gigs going on, so he's not going to be totally without work. He's also a producer. His work includes the CBS series Bull, in which he serves as executive producer, writer, and co-creator. He also hosts the podcast Fill in the Blanks and Mystery and Murder Analysis by Dr. Phil.
I didn't know anybody.
He's got plenty.
What is Bull?
I
thought that actor died.
No,
that's not him. Rick. Although Night Court is
not
back.
Night Court's
back. Rebooted.
It has rebooted.
I saw it was on the other night.
And the judge is one of the girls off of Big Bang Theory.
Say it again.
The girl who is the judge now, they play as Harry's daughter.
Oh, we're back to Night Court.
Okay. Yeah, it's Night Court. Okay. They've rebooted that, and it's one of the girls off of Big Bang Theory.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yep.
So with Ozzy retiring because of his mental capacities failing, Joe Biden has released a statement that said, "What's wrong with that?"
Right.
Not a joke.
They're very comparable.
They really are.
Man, that's a big retirement block today, huh?
It's a big
all
block.
At one time.
It's a big block today. You know, he had a big four-wheeler crash that kind of put him back, too. Remember Oz a few years ago? He never really got over that.
So Ozzy was out there for how long?
Oh, my goodness.
So many years.
How many years?
Black Sabbath was the 70s.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been so much.
Early 70s.
Yeah, so long.
You ever run across him and his son's like reality show where they travel around?
Pretty good show. It's fun to watch.
Constant handles with his son trying to take care of him.
Yeah, he's got his hands full.
Oh, speaking of constant handles with his son, back to Joe Biden. They're the same.
There we go.
They're the same.
Right. There we go.
How's that go?
Good night.
Thank you, buddy.
That's Forrest Gump.
I don't think so.
That's not Ozzy.
I don't know what it is, but I want you to keep doing it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, man.
Look, the man of a thousand voices. You never know what's coming.
You're not sure what voice it is, but it's there.
Your impressions have really come on.
Thank you. It is a voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you were talking about comparing the Biden thing earlier on when we were just trying to do the clip of him claiming something about the pandemic. The way his voice was at that moment sounded like he'd had a stroke. I mean, did you catch that?
Rick, he hadn't had his vitamins.
Sounded like Ozzy.
I think you're right. And so towards the end of the show yesterday, there was another Hunter Biden story that Daily Mail broke after looking at the text messages from the laptop. Did you see what he was doing to like some of his coworkers, like demanding that that they meet, but they couldn't have any clothes on, and only when they were taking a shower, and it was bizarro. What? No, I'm being serious. All stuff from the laptop, the Daily Mail, I guess.
Everything they've got, and nobody's done anything. Anybody has any hopes that any of that's going to matter? You might want to move on.
Yeah,
but Greg, I was just about to say that. The Democrats have been coddling Hunter Biden forever, and the media is always willing to go along and be their partner in that. But now I think the Democrats realize that Biden is fading and they can't really run him again. Do you think now they would even be willing to say, let's stop protecting him and let's just tell everybody what all about Hunter Biden and
get
stop.
Them both out of the way?
Because I don't know what Hunter Biden, what do we have to find out about Hunter Biden that we at least say, yeah, that's not good. I'm talking about bipartisan.
Yeah.
Bipartisan. Yeah, this guy was problematic.
Based on Rick, I really think he could sacrifice virgins at Times Square and they'd say it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know,
we're mad at Jeffrey Epstein and we're not mad at him. I mean, that's what I don't get. I mean, he and Epstein are not. There's not a lot of distance between the two.
Epstein can't sell access to the big man.
Well, now that is true.
That's true.
Did you see too some of these arrangements? You wonder why his paintings were selling to anonymous donors.
No, you're talking about laundering money?
Yeah, that's the way you launder money. And then did you see what he was paying his dad for rent?
Oh, yeah, $47,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
See. What? Your dad charged you that much?
Well, if you're Hunter Biden.
But it's all. See, so you promised that to your dad for his influence. Yeah,
he's laundering money, writing. I mean, as I hate to bar a shifty shifts thing, but in plain sight.
Well, it's one of those things. See, the Bidens—they're so rogue, that the whole Biden family, that we have done so little to hold them accountable. They don't even care that rent at 40-something grand or whatever it was, 37 grand, 47 grand, whatever it was, they don't even care that we can look at that and go, well, that doesn't sound right. Ah, whatever, we'll call it rent.
Yeah. What are they going to do about it?
Yeah, you're I mean, sure, absolutely, that's what they wanted to pay.
The picture of me passed out with a crack pipe in my mouth, I mean, nah, whatever.
It's a joke.
Oh, he's got several other pictures that are out.
Mm. What? Ozzy wants to take us to break?
Well, bye.
He's made noises.
I like the face that goes, I got to close my eyes.
He always has to close his eyes. I can't imagine what it looks like.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba. We plan on being here tomorrow for a brand new show, and you are invited.
Rick, it is going to be a big and busy show. Adler's son is scheduled to be born tomorrow, and it's Groundhog Day. And we'll ask the question, which one will appear first?
All tomorrow on a brand new Rick and Bubba show. Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.